I've titled this, What Really Matters in Life, and we could talk two or three days about that, and I don't intend to do that. But I believe all of us aspire to live lives that are lives of fulfillment. We want to believe that what we're doing certainly is a fulfilling life. We certainly want to do that, but we have trouble sometimes trying to figure out what does that really look like? What does that really entail when I live a life with it certainly is not living a life without problems. We pretty much know that because we have difficulties and we have problems and things like that. And that doesn't really come into play because you can live a life of fulfillment, still have problems the same way. They're going to come our way. The truth is, though, Paul said, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not perplexed. We can live a life with problems. There's a way to grab a hold of the things in life that matter and live a life of fulfillment, live a life that makes sense and really means something. And all of us today, we want to know what's God's plan. You know, I hear that from more people than you would believe. What's God's plan for my life? What is it? What does God want me to be doing? And that's the age-old question that a lot of people ask. And you know, I want to simplistically look at it this morning so that you'll see it's the same for every person. Well, my plan's got to be different than somebody else's. Well, it is in a certain degree, but it's the same for every purpose, and I want to take a look at that today. I want to attempt to answer that question in the most simplistic way possible, because sometimes we lose sight of the most simple and obvious things. And I want to look at that. Look at Psalm 90:12 there. I want to start by looking at that so that we can understand that and maybe kind of grasp what that says to us. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I believe if we're going to live a fulfilled life, we're first going to have to do that first thing. We're going to have to recognize that our days are numbered. And when he says, teach us to number our days, I don't believe he means put 1, 2, 3, and 4 on this day and, you know, be a calendar. I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. I think Moses wants us, I'm sorry, that is a psalm of Moses, by the way. I think Moses wants us to have a attitude that says, I know my days are numbered, so I need to make them count. See what the second part of it says? That we might gain a heart of wisdom. If I realize that life is brief and that I only have a short time here, no matter what that time is, then I'm going to do my very best to make that time count. Now, wisdom is applied knowledge. Now, let me straighten. I want you to see this. Knowledge is what is when we know what to do. What knowledge is knowing. It's knowing what to do. Wisdom is when we actually do it. I can call myself an electrician. I'm a certified electrician. But if I don't ever do any work with electricity the rest of my life, then I have knowledge of electricity, but I don't have wisdom because I haven't done anything. So that's kind of the way it is. And a lot of us are sitting here this morning, we're the same way. We know what to do. We're not doing it. We all, you know, most of us, I'll give you an example. Most of us know the value of what our family is. We'll say, well, we have a wonderful family, and I know I need to spend more time with it, but are we doing it? And then the question, are we applying wisdom where it's supposed to be applied? And one of the reasons I believe we don't have wisdom is we don't see that first part of that psalm. I believe it's because we don't see our life in the brevity sense. But we need to understand that, folks. As Christians especially, we need to understand that our life, you know, James says our life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And we, all of us have had loved ones who are given a short time to live. We got some right now in our church that we're praying for. And we spoke of some in Sunday school this morning. But we all know we've had loved ones who have been given a short time to live. And I watched specifically one of the people that were very close to me that was given a short time to live. And I remember one of the things that they said, knowing that they only had days left on this earth. They said, I don't want to hear an unkind thing said about anybody. And I thought about that. I thought, what a wonderful way to go to leave this earth, but I don't want anything said badly about anybody. I don't care if you feel that way. Don't say it in front of me. Well, the days I have left, don't say it in front of me. But then I thought about this. Shouldn't that be how we live every day? Shouldn't that be the same thing we apply every day? But sometimes people, our relatives and our friends and people that we see their mortality being played out, they live their lives differently. And when we see that, maybe we ought to apply it to us, because the brevity of our life is there. We just don't want to recognize it. We need to see that we need to live our lives out maybe a little differently. Look what Ephesians said in the New Living Translation. It said, so be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Watch what it says. Here's a goodie. Don't live like fools. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Wise. That word wise and wisdom comes up again. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Then he says, don't act thoughtlessly. That got us all right there, didn't it? But understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Now, just a couple of things that I want to show you there. That word opportunity up there, make the most of every opportunity. In the Greek, it's the word kairos. And here's what it simply means. It simply means a time set aside to do something. It's a time set aside to do. He said, make the most of all the times that you've got set aside to do something. Don't let it go by and say, well, you know, I should, that was my time and I missed it. He said, be careful. Live like a wise person. Make time to do those things that are important. And in order to do that, I think he said, don't act thoughtlessly. Don't just go out doing things without knowing why you're doing them. He said, have a life of purpose. That's what we're going to be talking about today. In order to do that, we've got to have some right values in our life. We got to understand what matters, what really matters in our life. Now, I'm going to read you something right, I want to preface, right here on the pages of my notes, life explained, okay? I'm going to give it to you. It's free of charge. If you want to give me a little something, it's okay. But life explained right here on the pages of these notes. It may not be theoretically correct, but this is my... Life explained. On the first day, God created the dog. He says, sit by the front door of your house and bark at every person that goes by. And for this, I'll give you 20 years of lifespan. And the dog said, that's a long time to be sitting on the porch barking. He said, what if I give you back 10 years? And God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey. And he told the monkey, entertain people doing monkey tricks, jumping up, down, making strange noises. And I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the monkey said, well, that's a long time to be jumping up and down like that. And said, what if I do like the dog and I give you back 10 years and I keep 10? God agreed. On the third day, God created the cow. And he told the cow, I want you to go out into the field, work for the farmer, suffer under the weather, the sun, the rain, whatever, and have calves and produce milk. And for this, I'll give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, ooh, that's a long time to be out in the weather like that. Working for the farmer, said, I'll tell you what, I won't do like the dog and the monkey. He said, I'll give you back 40 years and I'll keep 20. And God said, that's okay. He agreed. And on the fourth day, God created man. And he said, man, I want you to eat, sleep, drink, be merry, and enjoy yourself. For this, I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the man said, what? Only 20 years? And he said, how about this, God? What if you give me the 20 years you're promising me? Give me the 40 years that the cow gave back. Give me 10 years the monkey gave back. And 10 years the dog gave back. And God agreed. And that's why the first 20 years of all our lives, we eat, sleep, drink, play, and enjoy ourselves. The next 40 years, we slave at a job to support our families. Then for the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the porch and bark at everybody that goes by. Now that's life explained, okay? Now I put three things down here. In order to know what God really wants us to do, we've got to know what matters. What really matters? And I want you to look at that with me this morning. What matters? And the first thing I put is God matters. And I know what you're thinking. Don't get too deep, Mike. God matters. Who didn't know that, okay? But I want you to look at it in a little bit different way. We can all agree, you know, that God matters. But the question is, if I ask somebody to follow you around for a period like a week or something like that, would they come back and tell me that, hey, you know, I followed them around, I watched their life, and God mattered to them? Could they say that about you? Could they say that God mattered more than anything else in his life? Could they say that about you? If we're going to talk about, we're going to sing about God matters, we got to live God matters. So we need to think of it in that term. And let me say this to you. I want you to hear. Please hear this. God can't just be on your list, folks. He doesn't have second and third place. That doesn't define our God. He's got to be number one on the list, or he's not on your list at all. That's just, you know, I didn't make that up. That's the way God is. Because here's why it's so important, folks. One day, we're all going to stand before God in judgment. We don't like to hear that, I know. But we're all going to stand before God in judgment. And the question we've got to wrestle with and answer that day is, what did you do with the relationship with my son Jesus? What did you do with it? You want to talk about God matters? On the day of judgment, that great white throne judgment, and you know what? It doesn't matter what you tell God, he's already going to know. You can argue with him, you know, he's already going to know. We got in Scripture, you know, there's things where people argue with him. You know, we got a lot of people, when I talk to folks about God sometimes, one of the first things they tell me is, I go to such and such church. Just like, that's got me covered. Anything we talk religion, I go to Grace Baptist Church. Does that mean God matters to you? Or is that just convenient for you to go? You know, when the day comes and you stand before God and he says, what was your relationship with my son Jesus? You say, I went to Grace Baptist Church. Oh, yeah, well, come on. You know, that's not going to have anything to do with it. It's not going to be what denomination you are. It's not going to have anything to do with it. No one says, I had membership. I was a member, long-time member of the church. None of that's going to matter. There's only one thing going to matter. It's what was your relationship? Did you have a relationship with my son Jesus? Did his blood on the cross cover your sins? Because if it didn't, you know what God's going to say to you then? Because many religious people came to him. You know what they said? They said, hey, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Don't you remember? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Don't you remember that? God, didn't I help at Bible school and serve food to the children for 4 or 5 years in a row? Didn't I help park cars at the women's conference? It was raining that day. God, don't you remember? And God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because that all that other stuff is not important. It's important what you do with his son, Jesus. And everything, let me say this. I hope you notice this, because I want you to notice it. Everything we do here at Grace, at this church, is to make your relationship with Jesus more attractive. We want to draw you into relationship to him. Everything we do, all those things I just mentioned, Bible school, women's conference, every sermon that we prepare, everything we do here, every lesson that's taught in Sunday school is there to help you make Jesus more attractive to you so that you will develop a relationship with him and you won't have to stand on this day and not know what to say. You know what when you get there, you know what I really believe? You're not going to have to say anything. If you had a relationship with Jesus, he's going to look right at you. He's not going to see you. He's going to see the blood of his son. He's going, my son, you know, that's his love. Philippians says it like this. It says, but whatever was to my profit, Paul said, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not a more beautiful piece of scripture in the Bible than that. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ. Hey, that's when God matters, folks. It's when you can say all this other stuff doesn't. All this other stuff I've gained, all this other stuff I've done, where I'm at, what I'm doing. Paul said, I consider all that lost. I don't care about any of that. None of that compares to the surpassing greatness of me knowing Jesus Christ. And that's kind of the way we've got to be, folks. If we don't see it that way, we need to start seeing it that way. Because that's kind of how we've got to be in front of Christ. We got to. And you got to understand something, folks. Relationship with Christ, it's not a Sunday thing. It don't just happen on Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. I wish we had more people here, but I'm glad you're here. And I thank God for you. But I hope you don't think your relationship with God, that God mattering in your life, has anything to do with you being here on just Sunday morning. That's not true. By the way, I want to mention, we have Wednesday night services. Thank you very much. Luke 12:20 says this. It said, but God said to him, this young man, I'm going to preface this, this young man is talking about all the things he's done and all the possessions he's got. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. You heard me say Wednesday night. Folks, I don't care if you're rich. Being rich, that's not a bad thing. I'm happy for you. Certainly didn't have my ideals, but I'm happy for you. And being rich, no, money, having money doesn't bother you. Money having you does. That's a problem. So you got to make sure that doesn't happen. You got to make sure that God matters to you. Moving along. People matter. Second thing, people matter. God matters and people matter. I want you to see this. I love teaching this. Because let me tell you, if you're sitting in the service this morning and you're upset about something, the vast majority of the time it has to do with another person. I'm upset because that person didn't do what I wanted them to do. And doesn't it seem like to you people working overtime to make you mad? Am I the only one that feels like that? It's not good, Pastor, being like that, and y'all not, so. So at least you can say amen something. Own up to it. I got to tell you this little quick story. Sharon and I were at the doctor's office. I was getting some x-rays done. I was waiting to get them done. We were in this big room. And there was this elderly man. He was sitting over to the side. He was a very nice-looking elderly man. And he had a little dog with him. And he had his hand on that dog. And he was pressing that dog. He was talking to the dog. And he was doing this with the dog the whole time. And there was this guy. I don't know what you guys define a redneck to look like. It'd be different for most of us, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's not AJ. Tip pointed back at AJ. It could be AJ, but this guy wasn't like AJ. But this guy was sitting in the middle. He was sitting in front of the. He wasn't even near this guy. The guy with the dog was that far away from him. The dog wasn't bothering him. Wasn't making a noise. Wasn't doing anything. I want to be clear about that. And this guy's got his hat on. You know, in the house, my mama told me to take them off. He's got his hat, you know, he's sitting there with his wife, so waiting to be called, her to be called. So he just kind of turns around, looks at this guy with the dog and says, what are you doing with that dog in here? Who let you have that dog in here? And the poor man, he said, he didn't want to tell his life story, what was wrong with him. He just said, well, I kind of need the dog. He said, wherever the dog goes, I go, wherever I go, he goes too. Well, I ain't never heard of that. He said, what does a dog do for you? He said, sir, I have panic attacks. He said, and the dog can sense them before anybody else does. And said, he helps me. Well, blankety, blankety, blank, I can't repeat what the man said. The open company, he's just cursing like crazy, and he's going, Well, I ain't never heard of nothing like that so far in my life. That's crazy. I can't believe that dog would know when you've had it. And, you know, he just went on and on. And I'm sitting there the whole time. I'm going, be godly. You know, God matters. I'm working on this term. God matters. But, you know, there was a side of me that wanted to go clock that guy. I mean, and I actually was that close to getting up. And a lot of times, Sharon will say, no, I'm not. No, she knows when I'm, no, my, you know, sit down. No, don't do it. That day, she was kind of like, go do it. I don't care. And you have no idea how bad I wanted to get in that guy's face and sit him down. But I didn't do it because the next thing I heard was, Mr. Mattis, it's time for you to come on back. But I walked by and gave that guy a look. And if, you know, stairs were laser beams, he'd be in deep trouble right now. But, you know, sometimes people are just obnoxious, aren't they? You know, but let me tell you something I realized. As obnoxious, unfriendly, uncouth, redneck as this guy was, God loves him. God, you know, I had to talk to God later, but God, are you sure? Did you see this guy? God loves him. I was wanting to just stand up for this poor old man who was, you know, being berated there because he had a dog with him. And God, and I realize God loves this man. Some of you guys in this room right now, you're harboring ill feelings toward other people. Group this size, more than likely it's true. You're harboring ill feelings toward other people. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not hurting them, it's hurting you. It's hurting you. I heard a pastor say something about unforgiveness this week. He said, unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire, hoping that the person that you're not forgiving will die of smoke inhalation. That's a lot about how it is. Let me tell you something, folks. If people matter to God, they got to matter to us. They got to matter to us because God put us here with them. Look what he says there in Galatians 5, 13, 15. He said, serve one another in love. In love. Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that's hard to do, folks. We have to summons up the spirit that's in us and say, Spirit, take over where my flesh is wanting to go hit this guy and help me to love him. Because that's what you'd have me do. That's why people matter to God. People matter to God because he wants us to love them. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you got to do. That's really what matters. He said, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Love your neighbor. Find out something you can do to help your neighbor. Love them. You know, folks, if we look at it like this, oh, I got a whole life left, then you'll be mean as you can to anybody you get a chance to. But if you say, hey, we only got a few days left. I don't know how many days there are. Maybe I ought to do something nice for somebody. Do something just simple. I want to ask a question, and I know some of you are. If you're part of the card ministry at Grace Baptist Church, raise your hand. Uh-oh. Y'all want to turn around and look? Here's the second question. If you're not a part of the card ministry, why aren't you? Why aren't you? There's no talent to send in a card. It's just a love expression is all it is. We have so many people on a prayer list every day. You know, we can't even sit down and recite them all. There's so many people on a prayer list. And we got, what, 2-3 people sending cards? You know that a card coming from you means 10 times more than it would coming from the pastor or the associate pastor. It means 10 times more coming from you because you're a part of the church. Be a part of the card ministry. All it takes about 5 minutes, you sit down and write a simple little note and say, I'm praying for you. God loves you. I love you as my neighbor. That's what we ought to be doing. Those are the things that we ought to be doing the short time that we have left. Those are the things we should be doing. Because, you know, there's another judgment that's coming, the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be there with him. This is after the first judgment. If we pass the first judgment, we're going to be standing with Christ at the judgment seat, and he's going to say, what did you do for me? You knew me. You knew my son. Knowing that, what did you do? How much did you help people? What did you do for other people? He's going to ask that question, folks. You know, I want to be prepared to say I did this and I did that. But I got to be honest with you. God's convicted me this week. I'm not doing what I should. I'm not doing all I can. Let me ask you this. Are you? Are we doing all we can? Let me tell you something. If we were doing all we could, folks, for that right there, you wouldn't have empty seats at Grace Baptist Church on Sunday morning. You know, but that's how we get people here. It's not just by, it's not by great preaching. It's not by great music and all that. All that's good. It's not by great Sunday school. That's good. It's by loving somebody else, expressing God's love to somebody else. You do that in churches, we have to be worrying about building something then. But right now, we don't have to worry about that. People matter to God. Now, the third one, eternity matters. Eternity matters. I'm sorry, I didn't read Matthew there for you. He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me." When you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. I remember very well the pastor, Anthony Campolo, was on a missionary trip. I think it was into Africa, and it was years and years and years and years ago. And he said he was there to try to help a group of people. They were starving. Children were starving. And they took food and gave it to them. But what they had was not enough, and they were going to have to fly back and get more. And they were going to try to get another team to come in and help feed these people that were starving to death. Children were starving to death. And he said, "I got on the plane. I looked out the plane window as we were leaving." He said, "And I connected with a little guy, and his eyes were looking straight at me." He said, "And never before have I been convicted like that." He said, "God told me, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." He said, "God told me, that's Jesus. That's my son right there. When you did it unto them, you did it unto him." And that's important that we remember that. People matter. Eternity matters. Eternity matters. Now, the vast majority of our life will be spent on the other side. We seldom want to realize that. We certainly don't want to talk about it because it's unknown to us to some degree. But you know, folks, let me be clear to you this morning. Heaven is coming, okay? Heaven is coming. Just as sure as I'm sitting here this morning, heaven is coming and Chillsburg's leaving. You know what I'm saying? Heaven is coming. No more tax returns. No more insurance payments. Licking Good Donuts going to be open all the time. Now, folks, heaven won't be heaven unless Licking Good Donuts are there. I think we've already got a little taste of it. I'm joking about that. But there'll be no more doctor's visits. We won't have to worry about that anymore. No more hospitals. No more sick and lame people. We won't have to worry about that. No more traffic on Highway 280. Amen. Luke 12:15 says this. "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Let me tell you something, folks. You've heard me say this before. It doesn't matter what you've accumulated here on this earth. All the things you got. You know how much you're going to carry with you? None. A big fat zero. "Well, I'm going to leave it to my children." You know how much they're going to carry? None. Zero. You're not going to carry any of your possessions with you. What matters, folks, is eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? That matters more than anything else there is. That really matters. You've got to know what matters. Matthew 6:19-21 says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It's important, folks, for us to understand what matters. When you really know what matters, and you can begin to live a life that's righteous with Christ, you can live a life of righteousness when you realize these things that matter. When you realize that God matters and what you're doing with his son Jesus in relationship. When you realize that people matter and what you're doing to help people in the name of Jesus. When you realize that eternity matters. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where's your brother and your mother? Where's your family members? Where are your friends going to spend eternity? God's got you here to help with that. And you need to be about that. So I put down there, how can we now leave a godly legacy? Knowing what matters, how do we live this out? How do we do it? How do we live this out? First thing I put is know your purpose. Know your purpose. What has God got me on this earth to do? Do you realize, folks, I read a poll on this from a Christian source, and it said this, that they asked people, do you know what your real purpose here is on this earth? 87% of the people who responded said, I don't know. I'm not sure. I really don't know. 87% didn't know. What are we doing in churches? What are we doing preaching? What are we doing studying scripture if we're not learning that, what our purpose is? We've got to know our purpose. Too many people are living in what I call survival mode. You know what that looks like? Well, you know, I got to pay the bills. I got to get my next check. I don't want to get sick. I want to have pretty good weather to live my life, you know. And I'm in survival mentality. You shouldn't be in survival mentality, folks. You should be in significant mentality, a life of significance that means something, not just getting by, but making a difference. And that's what we should be striving to do. Because, folks, let me be clear about, you're not here by accident. You say, well, yeah, I was. You know, my parents weren't planning me. Hey, I was the eighth of eight children. Y'all didn't get that, did you? There was no Planned Parenthood back then. I was the eighth of eight children. But you know what? I don't care where you came from. I don't care what happened when you, how you got here. I don't care about any of that. I know this. God participates in creation. And God made you for a purpose. And he wants you to know that purpose. He's got something for you to do that's uniquely, it's uniquely centered on how you were created. I read this story about Elvis Presley. You know, he sold over 250 million albums, made 33 movies, and at the time of his death had over 1 billion fans. 1 billion fans. They asked his wife, in a Reader's Digest article, they asked his wife, you know, they were talking about Elvis, and she said, I don't believe he ever came to terms with what he was here to do, who he was, and what his purpose was. He never came to terms with that. She thought he thought at one time he might be he needed to be a preacher. He might need to share the gospel with other people. He thought at one time he should do this and he should do that. But you know what he did? He had a career in music, one of the greatest careers ever. But he, when he got on stage, he escaped having to worry about what he was supposed to be doing. Because he truly, she said he truly didn't know. Folks, let me say this to you. You're never going to know your purpose until you connect with the person who put it in there. You're never going to know your purpose until you know the person that put it in you. Look what David says in Psalm 139. It's beautiful. He said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Boy, that's beautiful, isn't it? Does God participate in creation? David understood it. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before any one of them ever came to be. That's beautiful scripture right there. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he says this, I praise you, God. When's the last time you praised God for making you like you are? You made me like I am, God. I praise you that you made me like this because you got a purpose for me. You got something for me to do. You know, we have trouble. Sometimes men, we won't have as much trouble as like, you see a woman that's drop dead gorgeous and she looks in the mirror. What's she do? She'll go, my hair is not just exactly like I didn't want it. You know, should be coming a little further down. That's why you're doing something, right? Right, ladies? I'm not trying to get on your bad side here. But here's a man. Here's a man. He's fat and ugly as mud. Looks in the mirror and, yeah, what's up? You know. That's how he does. I had to throw in a little humor. You guys are getting too serious here for a minute. Folks, if you want to know the book on your life, you got to go to the library and talk to the librarian. You got to go to the guy who put it in there. The one who owns you and the one who made you. Made you for a purpose. He made you so that you'd be right here, right now. Let me say this. A lot of you are going, we all got jobs, but a lot of you are going to go to your job tomorrow and you're going to take on that position and it's going to mask what God actually created you to do. Did you hear me? You're going to go to that job and it's going to mask what God really... Some of you are going to go to a job and it's right where God put you to do. It's what God wanted you to do. He put you there for a purpose and he wants you to do it. We mask sometimes the fact that we don't know what God's purpose is. We mask it sometimes. Look at Colossians 1:16 in the Message Bible. It says this, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything that got started in him finds its purpose in him. That's how you find your purpose, is go back to who made it. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean that at all. It means you're going to have something bigger than any problem you got. That's what it means. You'll understand what God put you on this earth for, what your purpose is. Second I put is grow to your potential. I'm going faster. Grow to your potential. Now, most of you, I'm going to tell you, I believe most of you think the wrong thing about this grow to your potential deal. But here's what you think. I'm going to read more articles on the internet. I'm going to study the Bible more, and all that's good. I'm going to read more commentaries than I was. You know, I'm going to go to Sunday school more often, and God knows you should. I'm going to study some sermons. I'm going to memorize scripture. Listen to me when I tell you this, okay, folks? Information does not change you. Oh, well, Mike, it does. It makes me smarter. That doesn't really change you. The change that's needed in you, all real life change occurs through relationship. That's why God put us with other people. It's so that he could create the change. The devil loves to do this, folks. He loves to run around scaring you to death and telling you to put pretense mask on. I'm going to show the pretense. I'm going to let the public see this, but they're not going to really see the inner part here. But you know, devil tells you to do that. You don't want to let people see who you are now. We want to hide ourselves from relationships a lot of times. We're cheating Christ out of what he created us for there. We're cheating the whole system there. That's why we always preach, folks, small groups, Sunday school. Small groups, Sunday school. Get involved in a small group in Sunday school. You'll get in discussion in there. You'll get to know somebody in there who's got the same kind of problems you do. Hey, we all got issues in here. If you think you don't have an issue, that is your issue. Because we all got them. And when we share one with another, see, then we grow to our potential. We get better than we ever thought we could simply by just interchanging ideas and thoughts and sharing with other people. Somebody can share with you what they went through and help you along the way with that. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one man sharpens another. So we need other people to help us to grow to our potential. It's people that do it. You know, we sometimes bail on a relationship real quick when somebody wants to know the nitty-gritty about us. I'm not talking about gossiping, folks. I'm talking about sharing your life with other folks. God didn't come to make you happy, folks. He came to make you holy, a holy people. He's a lot more interested in your character than he is your comfort. Believe me. Last thing, and I'm finishing up. Sow the seeds that benefit others. Sow the seeds that benefit others. Got to know, got to grow, and got to sow. Sow the seeds that benefit others. Now, everything I have and am, God has given me so that I can sow and help other people. You know, some of us, you don't just sit back and say, well, God gave me all this. Isn't that something? No. He gave it to you so you could help other people with it. You know, all that parable of the talents and all the things that Jesus taught. He was making people understand, don't store up for yourself. Don't store up for yourself, Richard. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 right there, and then in verse 11 also. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has, deciding in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, we got right to it, Mike. You want us to give, don't you? Not up to me whether you give or not. I won't ever tell you. God will tell you. And when he tells you, you need to obey. Because you got what you got because he gave you what you got. You need to understand that. You won't ever hear me beg you for it. I don't need to. God will convict you of that kind of thing. And if our church did this, once again, we'd be so big we wouldn't be able to sit in this room. He finishes up in verse 11 and says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You'll be made rich in every way so you'll be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to people. You know, it's one of the things I try to do for people. If I go out to a restaurant or something, I try to leave a larger tip than I normally would. Because normally there's a mother coming to wait on my table right there. And, you know, a lot of us, we look new. It's been 10 seconds since they filled my tea glass. So what? You might be a mother of two right there working two jobs trying to get by. You don't ever know. Leave a big tip. Help them. You know something else I do? I've made a practice of doing. When I leave, I go see the manager. I get the name. You know, they got a name tag. I figure out the name of my waitress. And when I leave, I go to the manager and brag on them. See, that woman right there was great. Oh, man, she was wonderful. I'll come back. You know, I don't usually come back to a restaurant unless it's good, but I'm going to come back to this one because she waited on my table. That helps people. That's a way of sowing seeds right there. Give a big tip. Help someone. Find a way to help someone. Identify with someone that's having a problem and help them because you've had the same problem. Some of you went through some horrible tragedies in this life. There are other people in this church going through the same thing. You can be a big, big help. You can sow a seed right there. And that's what God really wants you to do. Now, I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Keith, you can come ahead and go ahead and get our music ready. But I want you to bow your heads and be very quiet for just a moment. Be very still. Because the words I've said this morning were given for a purpose, and I want to say this to you. Some of you here are not living your life like God matters. Some of you can be, freely admit this morning, God's not at the top of my list. I've been wandering off and doing this and doing that. Some of you can live a life that matters. You got to come to terms with who created you. Some of you need to be saved this morning. You say, I've never trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, let's celebrate today together. Let this be the day. Don't wait. Don't walk out those doors and go on the way home because you don't know this time thing we're talking about. No one knows how long we got. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And I don't want you to go home today worrying about that. Relieve yourself of that worry this morning. Come and kneel this morning. I'll pray with you. We got many people that'll come pray with you. And I'll tell you this. We won't be embarrassed by you, by what you say and what you do. We'll celebrate and thank God that you came. That's what we'll do. Because that's what we're all about. So you think about that this morning. If you're sitting there this morning, you're not sure whether you're saved or not. And you've been kind of wrestling with that thing. And God's wrestling with you. And today you realize, hey, God really matters. And I haven't been doing the things I should be doing. You come this morning when we sing. Don't hold on to the pew. Just come this morning. Some of you know Jesus. You had him as Lord and Savior for a long time, but you've lost sight of what living with a purpose is really like. You don't really understand what it's like. You need to align your life to live for a purpose today. Whatever your need is this morning, you be free to the Spirit's call. Free to let God deal with you in spirit this morning. I'm going to pray over you and we're going to sing an invitation song. And during that invitation song, you step out and you come forward this morning. You get things right with God. It's time for us folks to live a life that matters before God. A life of purpose. Not just a life of existence, but a life of purpose and significance. So I'm praying this morning that God is dealing with your heart and you'll come this morning. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to share this morning and for, Lord, for what this message is. And, Lord, that you've given it to me, I thank you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to share with your people. And Father, you know my heart. I love these people. I love each and every one of them, Lord, and I love them in a way that I can never do without you. So, Lord, I pray for them this morning. I pray for this entire church family and this gathering this morning. There are those that are hurting here this morning, Lord, that need to come and get things right with you. Those, Lord, that's never known you as Lord and Savior, let them come this morning, I pray, Lord, and get things right with you. Lord, we're thankful that you matter to us. We're thankful, Lord, that through your word we can find out what we're supposed to be doing. We give you all honor and praise and glory in Jesus' precious name.